Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. Now, it's time for Need to Know Basis.
It's hour two of the drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Konosvita. Here's what you need to know today. World Juniors starts with a triple header, and it's underway right now on the TSN family of networks. Slovakia with a 2-0 lead early in the second period over Czechia. Canada opens the tournament tomorrow on against Latvia right here on TSN 1200. Hockey Canada has appointed an interim chair to their board of directors. It's Toronto lawyer Andrea Skinner. Meantime, the Blue Jays have agreed to a deal with veteran outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr. He was released by the Red Sox last week, has struggled mightily at the plate. He began his career with the Red Sox in 2013, played 9 years in Boston, 2 World Series, and an All-Star appearance as well. Golf. Scottie Scheffler says that the LIV Golf players suing the PGA Tour is frustrating. He's the number one player in the world. Said he's curious to see whether Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford will be joining him this week in the Tour Championship. And that is what you need to know today. Now, just a thought on Jackie Bradley Jr. going to the Blue Jays.
Don't have much of one right now because of the season that he's having. And just for, where his game is at. But obviously, lefty off the bench, and I don't know what kind of help that he's going to be, but I would assume it'd be in a depth role, obviously, in the outfield and a left-handed bat off the bench, although that bat has been quiet of late.
Serena Williams also, we've talked about this already today. We'll talk to Michaela Schreider about this at 3:40, but Serena Williams has to be on any list of best female athletes of all time, and probably the best. I mean, there have been a lot of fantastic female athletes. Certainly in this country, we've seen numerous, led by Christine Sinclair. You look at skiing and Lindsey Vonn. You look at gymnastics and Simone Biles. You look at athletics and Jackie Joyner-Kersee. So many different women soccer players around the world. Mia Hamm, Alex Morgan, amongst those, along with Christine Sinclair. But she's the best tennis player of all time. And I think you can make a pretty good case that she's the best female athlete of all time. What Serena Williams has done, nothing short of incredible. Awesome career, and it's going to be fun seeing one last hurrah. I mean, I can remember when Jimmy Connors had his last U.S. Open and made it to the semifinals, and just the buzz in the air for those games as he continued to press on, continue to win, and get into the second week. You can only imagine the buzz if Serena Williams wins a handful of matches and gets deep into the U.S. Open, and just how exciting it'll be, kind of like the excitement surrounding Tiger Woods, I think, when he was able to win the Masters and get back into contention after going through at least a bit of a major drought for about a decade.
Yeah. Sorry, losing my voice this segment here, but
we've all been there.
The buzz at the U.S. Open for tennis and cheering on Americans is well, anyone, but especially Americans is pretty wild. The fans get super vocal. If she were able to go on a deep run and end up winning, to go out on top, that would be that would be right up there, like you said, with Tiger, the Masters. That would be pretty special. I'm rooting for that.
23 majors. He's won 7 Australian Open titles. 3 French Open titles. 7 Wimbledon. 6 U.S. Opens. That's just insane. And she's won, in terms of doubles, 4 Aussie Opens, 2 French Opens, 6 Wimbledon, 2 U.S. Open. One.
4 Olympic gold medals, too.
Yeah, 3 in doubles, 2000, 2008, 2012, and also won singles in 2012. 5 tour finals. She's been number one in the world 319 weeks. She holds the joint record 186 consecutive weeks as the number one and finish number one 5 different times. 40 years old, just a remarkable career. And I think the greatest female athlete of all time.
Have you seen King Richard?
I have. What'd you think?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, same. Really, really worth your time. Really worth your time in terms of if you haven't seen it out there and you're debating whether to watch. Will Smith did a great job. He's not. I don't. You know what? You know what? I don't care about is that Will. I don't have an opinion on it. I could care less what Will Smith did to Chris Rock and what Chris Rock said. Like, I have no opinion. Don't care. Will Smith was good in King Richard. If I saw Will Smith tomorrow, I'd shake his hand. If I saw Chris Rock tomorrow, I'd shake his hand. Don't care. Don't care about that incident at all. You know what? People have bad moments.
I don't care about that specific moment, but I think that moment and others leading up to it have completely, like, that was the final straw. I think it's completely changed my opinion of Will Smith and his legacy. And there's still some solid movies of his honestly, when I think of his name or see him in a movie, it's different feeling now.
Yeah. Anyways, he did well in King Richard.
Yeah.
Right.
He
played him well. It's a good movie. It's worth your time. And a little bit of insight just in terms of, you know, where the Williams sisters came from. And I think that's huge in terms of tennis. You know, I think much like Tiger Woods, right, they broke down barriers. What Serena Williams and Venus Williams did, and certainly, you know, there were others before them. You think of Arthur Ashe, the late Arthur Ashe, and what he did in the sport. But, you know, sports viewed as a bit of a country club sport, something for the elite, and I think they broke down barriers. And I think that's awesome for the sport, and hopefully that's led to, you know, more people taking up tennis, taking up golf that maybe didn't have the opportunity or didn't think they'd have the opportunity to do before. So awesome story, and wishing Serena all the best in her retirement. But yeah, you know what? September's one of those real crazy busy months in the sporting calendar. I generally don't watch a ton of U.S. Open tennis. It's something that, okay, it gets to week 2, and if there's something special brewing, like I think of Bianca Andreescu, and all of a sudden she reached the quarterfinals and was like, all right, dialed in here. I want to watch Bianca. I want to see if she can get this done. And when she did, I mean, one of the great sporting moments that we've ever seen in this country. But it's one of those times of year, right? If you're a fan of football, and like for me, like work-wise, football and soccer are right both going into the stretch drive at the same time in September, and then football starts and hockey training camp is underway. It is a busy time, but I'm going to try and watch a little bit this year when Serena is playing, just knowing, right? I mean, sometimes we don't appreciate greatness when it's right in front of our eyes, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, this is it. This is the last time to see one of the all-time greats. It's going to be
in Canada this week, right?
Yeah.
After the second round next tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think she has an opponent yet, but yeah, that's, I think if you were in Toronto, would that change your mind maybe about watching her, knowing that it's coming to an end? Or is it in Toronto? I think it is.
Yeah, the men are in Montreal.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I would consider going for sure. For sure. One last opportunity. Like, I'm not going to drive down to Toronto.
Yes.
I'm not that big a tennis guy. I mean, I've attended one tennis event in my life, and that was the Davis Cup here, and the game wasn't even finished because Denis Shapovalov drilled the umpire. I was at that game.
That's a pretty good game to be at.
Well, not really.
In terms of, like, story. You got a story forever with that. I went to one tennis match. This is what happened.
Really disappointing that I go and you're hoping, like, for anyone that would have gone, right? I mean, it was a great event. There's a lot of people there. For anyone that would have gone, like, you could see that, you can feel, and again, I don't watch a ton of tennis, but I watch enough sports to kind of know when it's slipping away. You can feel it slipping away. You could just tell with his body language, it was slipping away. And so that's where that frustration was born out of. And yeah, it was just one of those things where, all right, I guess we're done here. I guess that's it. Thanks for coming out. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see. And the same, you know, when the likes of Federer and that time's not far away either. When the likes of Federer, Nadal, and Novak Djokovic, I was going to say, when those guys are out, I think there will be a similar predicament, even maybe from Matt Conosvito and Rafael Nadal. Well, he's getting his headset on.
What predicament?
You're not going to watch now? If Rafael Nadal's in his last tournament, are you watching? Or are you just kind of saying good riddance because you don't like the way he grunts?
I'm doing what you do when the shootout comes on. But I'm muting my television first so I don't have to listen to his shenanigans. I'm not watching Rafa at the end of his career. I'm not tuning in for his final match. I'm not. Best clay player in the history of the world. One of the greatest tennis players of all time. And one of the least watchable athletes that I can remember.
I forget. Is it just the grunts? Is that the only thing?
No. No, because it's everything. It's like the 17 bounces. And more than the grunts.
Sorry, I guess I meant his mannerisms on the court. Like, is that the only reason?
That's the biggest reason, for sure.
It's like Versace level hate for an athlete.
I hate. And yeah, I hate that it's like, oh, I'm up 15 love in the second game of the first set, and I hit a winner, and I'm like fist pumping and screaming and fire. Like, it's 15 love, Rafa. Settle down.
You're describing Rafa and El Chapo right there.
Well, I don't like that about Chapo. Chapo can settle down too.
I had a follow-up and I've lost it.
I mean, you know what? I'm not a huge tennis guy, but I appreciate it, and I'm come to admire the athletes. It's one of those things I'd love to one day get to. Probably a U.S. Open. Like, I know Wimbledon's got more tradition and history, but it's a little more stuffy with, you got to wear white. And but you know what? New York City's a nice drive away.
And that crowd brings it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the one I'd like to go to.
Well, and you're a nighttime is the right time kind of person, and so I could see AJ being completely dialed in for one of those matches that goes late into the night under the lights at Arthur Ashe.
I have a couple of friends that went to a couple of U.S. Opens with pretty good access passes. It's a party. It's a blast. It's an event.
Yeah, it seems
you
like
find some tickets to the good events.
Okay, good to know. There's too many things on my bucket list. I'm just going one at a time. And World Cup is this year. All right, we'll take a break.
That's a pretty big item. That's a big check mark beside.
Well, that's the item for me. I mean, I've been fortunate.
Shipping up to Qatar, as they say.
There's the only hockey thing I haven't really seen is the World Championships, Stanley Cups, Olympics, World Juniors.
Have you seen World Juniors in Europe?
No.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah. I'd like to see World Championships, though, just because of the fans, the experience, right? Seeing the Latvian fans.
I was going to say,
so
I'm thinking
crazy.
Like Latvia.
Yeah. Just going, like, I have no interest in going even for the medal round, just for like a week of games and going, yeah, I'd see Canada and support them and whatever, but I want to just go see every country and go into the beer tents and see what that's about and just how people celebrate it. But hockey and football, I've been fortunate to have gone to a lot of different events. Rose Bowl, BCS Championship, Grey Cup, Super Bowls. So, yeah, soccer, that's, you know, and Final Fours, too. I've been to a couple of them. That's why World Cup is number one on the list for me with Canada there. All right, back with more in a moment. Michaela Schrider, we'll ask her the question. Best female athlete of all time at 3:40. And much more to talk with a host of She's Got Game along with Vanessa Sanchez. 405 Bob Stauffer, 505 Scott Wheeler, a little World Juniors, a little NHL talk as well as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
The drive on TSN 1200. Let's get to text here at 12-1200 from Cork in Canada. Hey, boys, I remember when Jimmy Connors made his last hurrah at the U.S. Open. I feel like he was in a marathon match against Aaron Krickstein, who always seemed to be in marathon matches. At one point after Connors lost a long rally, a fan yells, "Come on, Connors," and he pauses, looks up to the crowd, and yells, "I'm trying, for bleep's sake." Just classic, and the crowd went nuts. That's from Cork in Canada. The one thing, you know, like I've obviously, guys like Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe, at times, you know, their attitude was, you know, not for everybody. But my goodness, the characters back in tennis in those days, when you think of those two in particular, and just what they brought to the table, hard to match that. Like, hard to replicate that. Not to say that there aren't good personalities or good characters today, but my goodness, what Connors and McEnroe brought from a personality standpoint, probably close to unmatched when it comes to men's tennis, at least.
Yeah, I'd say over the years, if I were to combine my entire tennis viewing experience, probably more into women's tennis in terms of just the competitiveness, and even when the Williams sisters cleaning up and winning every tournament, I don't know, I still found it more intriguing. There was definitely some years prior to it's terrific right now, obviously, with the three of the greatest of all time to be competing at the same time is incredible. Like, think about the numbers that whether it's Nadal, Djokovic, or Federer would put up if at least one of those guys played in a different era.
Yeah,
kind of thing. It's insane.
That is what's truly remarkable about this era, right? Like, we could be talking about the three greatest tennis players of all time in men's tennis, and they're all playing at the same time.
Yeah.
Imagine being, well, Andy Roddick's one, right? Imagine being a player that all of a sudden you get into this era and you think you might win, I don't know, 2, 3, 5, 6 majors, and you're up against all three of those guys, where you have to get through that group of players, the three greatest of all time, just to win a major. Tough era for sure if you're a men's tennis player. And something where, like, I'm not sure we've seen that in sport, where the three best were all playing at the same time. Like, when you think of hockey, everyone brings up Gretzky, Howe, Orr, Lemieux. You can talk about Crosby. You can talk about McDavid. They're all from different eras, right? Gretzky and Lemieux had some overlap, but not three. Football, same thing. You know, you might be able to say the best quarterbacks of all time were all in this era. But find me a better defensive player than Lawrence Taylor. As good as Aaron Donald is, I can't find a better defensive player than Lawrence Taylor. Can't find better running backs than what we saw from Jim Brown and Walter Payton and Barry Sanders. We don't see, I don't think, anyone in that category today. Basketball, you can talk about eras of Jordan versus LeBron versus Kareem, all different eras, right? Golf, everyone brings up Tiger and Nicklaus. But tennis, man, it's all at the same time, pretty wild. 750-1200, the number to call right now if you want to win baseball tickets. See the Ottawa Titans taking caller 15 right now. Pair of tickets, August 12th, Quebec Capital against the Ottawa Titans. Taking caller 15 right now at 750-1200. Speaking of baseball, what do you make of the Baltimore Orioles on a run? Big win last night over the Blue Jays. They'll play again at 7:05 tonight. It feels like we have two teams in the American League that we know are going to be in the playoffs. The Yankees are 10.5 up on the Blue Jays. The Astros are at 11.5 up on the Mariners. And then you've got between 500 and 550 baseball, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Orioles, the Guardians, the White Sox, the Mariners, and even the Red Sox, two games under 500. The Red Sox are 6.5 back of the Blue Jays, who are the third best team in baseball right now. And that's eight teams, really, for four spots. Looks like we're going to get... The thing that I love about baseball at this time is I love seeing races.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we're going to get some really good races into September based on, you know, the American League, but also in the National League. It's a pretty similar picture where the Mets have a 7-game lead over the Braves and where the Dodgers have a 16-game lead over the Padres. And then you've got the Braves, the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Padres, and the Giants, six teams battling for four spots. I think we're going to get some awesome races this year.
Yeah, obviously ton of season still to go, but I think you're right with the format the way it is. It's hard to picture that there's not going to be multiple teams in the thick of a race, whether it's the AL wildcard, the NL, or both, in the last couple games of the season. That's what you want, right? Like when this was first introduced, the older format with the second wildcard team, that and the play-in games, that was like how exciting was that with the Rays and the A's and
yeah,
like that's what you want, right? Coming down, how boring was it in terms of like great hockey this year? NHL regular season, Stanley Cup playoffs was great, but I think the Islanders were what 18
yeah,
points
and the
back
East, there was
and they
no
were
race.
That wasn't exciting.
Last year was a great race, right into the last day of the season, right? Red Sox, Mariners, Blue Jays, yeah. Yankees. Two of those teams made it. Two of those teams didn't. So we had some great races. All right, Matt Conosvita, who's going to see Le Capital de Quebec on August the 12th against the Ottawa Titans?
Big congratulations go out to Ryan Borowski.
Wow!
Oh, ha, ha.
Caller 15.
Congratulations,
just that easy.
Ryan. When we come back, Michaela Schrider talking Serena Williams and a big anniversary as well as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
It's the drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubik, Graham Creech, Matt Conosvita. Let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Our next guest, the host of She's Got Game here on TSN 1200, along with Vanessa Sanchez. It is Michaela Schrider. Michaela, how you doing today? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Well, I'm doing okay if I didn't have to emotionally and mentally process the retirement of Serena Williams, as if Sue Bird wasn't enough on my plate this week. Now I have to do this. So I'm doing okay, all things considered.
Yeah, a lot of legends certainly deciding to call it a career. Let's talk Serena Williams. I mean, 23 major championship victories, at least three in each major tournament. Certainly the best women's tennis player of all time. Is she the best female athlete of all time, in your opinion?
I don't just think she's the best female athlete of all time or the best female tennis player of all time. I think she's one of the best athletes of all time ever, like, period. There's
yeah,
no
fair.
The greatest athlete of all time debate, you know, it often comes up, and I know it's such a hard one to have because every different sport requires such different skills and you know, all that stuff. But Serena is in the conversation, and it's not even really a debate. Like she is in the conversation for greatest athlete of all time, period, full stop. You know, men's, women's, doesn't matter. She is one of the best athletes ever across all sports. And what really stands out to me for Serena is, like, I'm not a tennis fan. I've never sat down to watch tennis, much to my Scottish grandmother's dismay. I have never sat down to watch tennis just for the sake of watching tennis. But when Serena is playing, I'm watching. And that's what great athletes do, is they bring people into a sport who have no interest in watching the sport because you just want to watch the spectacle that is, you know, human, you know, capabilities at their best. And that's what comes to mind when, you know, I still haven't fully processed the, you know, Serena retiring, to be honest with you. And trust me, I'll have a lot more to say this week. But that's the first thing I thought of, was just that she brought people to this sport who had no interest in it. And that's what great athletes do.
Aside from that, is there a number or a stat or something that sticks out from her playing career that stands out most for you? Like, I guess the titles and the majors, Grand Slams are the obvious one, but is there something specific that you think of, or a specific tournament, anything like that?
I mean, the first thing is, we've all been waiting for her to get to that elusive 24 Grand Slam titles for so long. I'm glad she's at least playing in the U.S. Open, and maybe we have a chance to see that. But aside from that, you know, 23 Grand Slams is so impressive in and of itself. What always stands out to me is the 2017 Australian Open that she won while pregnant, which is just so unbelievably impressive. And then to think of everything she went through, you know, and giving birth to her daughter, almost dying, and then coming back to play, you know, not really long after that, when you think about it, that's what really stands out to me for Serena, is just, you know, what she's been able to endure as a human. And people often forget, especially with female athletes, the toll that giving birth and having a child can take on your body. And then to come back, and we talk about this in a lot of sports, whether it's Candace Parker returning after giving birth to her daughter after 6 weeks later, which is unbelievable, or Carolyn Ouellette winning the Clarkson Cup while pregnant. Like, to think that she won one of these 23 Grand Slam titles while pregnant, that always stands out to me.
Just the fact that she was able to break down barriers as well in a sport that has typically been white, has typically been elite, rich. Much like Tiger Woods in golf, she's opened the door for so many other players. Now, Arthur Ashe did the same years before, and certainly dealt with, you know, even a little bit more pushback. But what her and her sister did to break down those barriers certainly makes the story that much more remarkable.
Absolutely. And especially when you think of everything that they had to go through to break down those barriers, right? Like, to this day, Serena Williams and all the weight that her name carries still experiences racism when she steps onto the court, unfortunately. And the fact that she's been able to do what she's done, just statistically, with all these titles that she's won and all the accolades that she's received, while having to deal with either overt racism or microaggressions, whether it's from the officials or the media or the fans, all of which have happened in large scales to her, that is even more impressive, really. And like, obviously, I can't even begin to imagine what that's like. But, you know, to achieve something so great in your field and then do it while it feels like the whole world is up against you, I think that really does speak to not just her physical abilities, but her mental abilities. No one should have to do that. That it's important to mention that. But she and her sister did, and you know, they've paved the way for so many other athletes of color and tennis players of color to feel safer in this space. But there's certainly a lot of work to do.
You just touched on like the mental side of it, and I think, especially when she was like at her peak performance, there was oftentimes criticism of how she would react, and and people would say she's crying over certain things. Do you think that that's an unfair criticism and maybe she saw it more than other her male athletes or male tennis players, for example?
I do, especially when you consider, Serena Williams is passionate. I don't think you get to be one of the greatest athletes of all time without being passionate. And when she showed that passion, it was often framed as anger and you know, being a baby and not responding well and not having her head in the game. And then you consider that John McEnroe made an entire career out of that. And he was never framed the same way that Serena was. He may have been criticized at the time, but it was always kind of laughable. We always used him as a bit of a caricature, whereas Serena was framed as, the unfortunate stereotype of the angry black woman. And that's not fair, because nothing she did was any different than what a passionate, competitive athlete would have done. But she was always looked at differently as a result. And, you know, there's other examples of male athletes doing the exact same thing. And unfortunately, Serena Williams was ever treated fairly in that area.
Okay, I'm putting you on the spot. I want your female athlete, not who you like, but who are the four greatest female athletes of all time? I'm guessing Serena Williams is a lock. Who else is on that Mount Rushmore of yours?
Oh, yeah, Serena Williams is on that Mount Rushmore for sure. It's going to come as no surprise, but Sue Bird. I just think, you know, I talked earlier about Serena Williams bringing people into the game, and that's exactly what Sue Bird has done and everything that she has won and accomplished. And, you know, she's one of the only athletes, period, to win championships in three different decades. The longevity of her career alone is impressive. So she would be on Mount Rushmore for me as well. And then, you know, my Canadian bias is going to show here a bit, but Hayley Wickenheiser has to be there for sure. Again, everything she did for women's hockey, everything she's accomplished, you know, in men's leagues and now working in hockey, like she, and you know, all of this while being a doctor. I she was one of the greatest hockey players I ever got to watch. So she'd be on there as well. And then, Canadian bias, Christine St. Clair would be up there too. Just, you know, her stats speak for itself. She's the highest international goal scorer of all time, men's or women's. And again, she's brought so she's essentially made soccer in Canada what it is today. She and her teammates, of course, but she is the face of that. So Serena Williams, Sue Bird, Hayley Wickenheiser, Christine St. Clair. That's my Mount Rushmore.
How are you holding up with Sue Bird?
Not good. Let's just say it's a good thing we tapped a new keg in our keg fridge this week. Because,
what is it?
It's Great Lakes Canuck.
Okay.
Yes, nice. And it is tasty. And I've got three games in the regular season left to watch the Seattle Storm. Tonight they're taking on the Chicago Sky. And I'm going to be glued to the TV. I'm going to be staying up well past my bedtime a couple nights this week. Thankfully, they're in the playoffs. But it's been an emotional couple of days, even her last regular season game at home, like just to, you know, it was a sold out crowd, largest crowd for women's basketball in the state of Washington, largest crowd for a sporting event in Climate Pledge Arena. Like, you know, it was really amazing to see how many people loved her and wanted to come out and support her. It's hard to watch. It's bittersweet, but you know, she's done so much for the game, and it's nice to see her get recognized for that.
10 years ago today, I saw that you tweeted about this as well, because I was going to ask you about it even before I saw that you tweeted about it. Diana Matheson scores the goal to give Canada a victory over France. Bittersweet, because it was bronze at the London Olympics. But my goodness, one of the more gutsy performances in the history of Canadian sport, coming off the loss and the screw job against the United States in the semifinals of that women's Olympic soccer tournament.
That's the thing, you know, I think of London 2012 and immediately it's trauma, right? From that semifinal game, but you forget how amazing, and I know it felt bittersweet at the moment, but when you look back on it, and maybe now that time heals all wounds, I guess, it is amazing to think of that moment in and of itself, just Canada winning bronze, Canada winning a medal in women's soccer. What a big moment that was. And to see Diana Matheson and her teammates celebrate, like, you forget how amazing that moment was, because it's so clouded by the semifinals and the horrible refereeing that I really can't go down a rabbit hole of again. But it's that tournament for all its flaws, made Canada really care about international soccer, cheering for Canada, right? For so long, Canada loves soccer, but we would cheer for the teams that our parents came from, our grandparents came from, because Canada really wasn't on the map. And the women's team put Canada on the map, and that was the tournament where it really felt like the whole nation bought in. And maybe it was motivated by hatred for a certain referee or for Hope Solo or Alex Morgan, but you know, regardless, we still walked away with a medal, and it was such an unforgettable tournament in that way. And now, you know, Canada, it all worked out. 10 years later, Canada's on top of the world, and in women's soccer, they're Olympic gold medalists. And I guess you could say, again, it took 10 years, but maybe time gave us a little bit of perspective.
Well, I know you're a huge Red Blacks fan, season ticket holder, podcaster, so you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. I'd just like to get your reaction to how you feel as a fan, because I noticed, like, Friday it seemed like a tipping point for a lot of people saying that they weren't going to renew their tickets next year and unless changes are made or whatever. Like, how do you feel about what you're seeing once again?
Yeah, it's been a tough season, especially when you consider, like, the last two seasons. I don't want to give them excuses, but, like, you know, you'd look up and down the roster and go, well, no wonder this team is 3-15. Like, who do they have? And now they bring in, they change GMs. They bring in essentially like half of a new roster. And I think they made some great moves and, you know, bringing in Jeremiah Mazzoli and Jalen Acklin and addressing the O-line concerns. And yet, you know, the injury to Jeremiah Mazzoli obviously is not something the team can control for, but they were 0-4 when he went down. And it just, it has not stopped. And I know there's a glimmer of hope when they got their first win against Toronto, but it just feels like, you know, what does this team have to do to buy a win right now? And it is frustrating. And you know, as a season ticket holder, I'm certainly not on the side of, you know, questioning my season tickets. I love CFL football and I'll be a season ticket holder for as long as I can be, but it is getting frustrating. You know, people take time out of their day and go to watch a game and spend a lot of money to be there in times where, you know, we're just kind of, I don't want to say we're out of a pandemic, but we're recovering from 2.5 years of, for some people, a lot of financial hardship. And, you know, this is a big commitment and it's getting, it would be one thing if they were losing and it was entertaining, but the last couple games in particular have not been that, in my opinion, especially the last Friday's game was just unwatchable at times. And yeah, I think it's frustrating for people because, you know, you see this many changes happen and you just don't see the results on the field. And that's so, so frustrating. And, you know, I could talk forever about the reasons behind that, but I just think that, you know, you got to stop the bleeding at some point. You got to do something to keep fans engaged. And I guess we'll see how the Red Blacks do that.
Always great stuff. Michaela, what's coming up on the show with you and Vanessa this week?
Well, we would like it to be an hour straight of just unintelligible sobbing, you know, dealing with the retirements of Sue Bird and Serena Williams. But we'll probably have some insight on both of those things. We're going to have a feature actually on Sue Bird and her career, just kind of running through everything that she's accomplished. It's probably going to take up like 50% of the show. And then we'll also kind of, obviously, we're going to talk about Serena Williams, everything she's meant to the sport and to, you know, sports in general. So I think this week we'll be heavily focused on these two greats.
Thank you very much, Michaela. Awesome stuff. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.
Kayla Schreider joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. When we come back, it is Bob Stauffer talking a little hockey, little World Juniors, little NHL. 34 years ago today, Gretzky was traded, and maybe some SEC football as well as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.